Before we go to prayer over the word, been praying, and then I too look at this video and I see, you know, that we have to just slow down. But how many know that sometimes that train doesn't stop long enough for you to get off? That it just seems like you're always doing something. And this week, I share with the passing of Merle. And as I talk to the family, and I've heard some of the stories from Merle about the things that he's done in his life, and the things that I'm hearing is we have an opportunity to make an impact in people's lives. And sometimes we need to slow it down a little bit so that we could do it. And when I was hearing some of the stories of him sharing at the table, stopping what he was doing when he'd be somewhere to just go minister to somebody because he felt like the Lord had said it. And then, of course, I'm going to share a little bit on Tuesday his amazing story of building a business and giving God all the honor and glory, and you'd look at it and you'd think he'd have it made, yet he was the most humble guy I believe I've met in a long time. And that brought me comfort, because in the day and age when we're trying to race around, we're trying to make an impact, we're trying to raise family, we're trying to do what's right, sometimes it just gets to be overwhelming, and then we need to hear a story or a Christian's journey. We need to have a testimony where, like Marty, just stops, says, you know what, I just bless my socks off. And I just need to give God honor and glory for it. And for several weeks now, we've looked at worship. We looked at that time that we want God in our presence, so we'd, you know, in our worship and in our praise, we lift up the name of Jesus, and we want to get into his presence. And last week we looked at Acts chapter 10 and Cornelius praying in one area about one thing, Peter praying on another thing over in another area, and God using both of them to accomplish his task, answering both of their praise and prayer in a miraculous way. We serve a big God. Don't let the busyness stop us from realizing we serve a big God. Don't let the busyness and the needs and the circumstances get in front of realizing that God still wants to do some amazing things in our lives. Amen. Would you just bow your head with me? Father, we just, as we take a moment to open up your word in 2 Corinthians, Lord God, would you speak directly to us? Some here this morning need comfort. Some, Lord God, just need to be assured that you haven't stepped out of their journey and left them abandoned. Lord God, your word is very clear on these things. Your presence is only as far as we push you away. You desire to be in our lives. You desire to be present in decision making and those things that go on in our life. Help us, Lord God, to put the two together, that your presence and our blessings and our needs are all taken care of under the mighty and powerful Lord that we serve. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to be starting at verse 1 in just a moment, and we're going to be looking at God's comfort. We're going to be looking at what God has done and what he continues to want to do in our lives without the distractions, without getting eaten up by the things that are going on around us. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have his treasures in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul's plan was to come and visit the church in Corinth on his way to Macedonia and then on his way back. But these plans were changed by circumstances. Anyone here this morning have plans changed by circumstances? Anyone here this morning ever have anything that was out of their control happen? He brings them instructions. He brings them encouragement. He brings them the ability to know that he sees what's going on. He knows that the Lord sees what's going on. He shows them that they live in a fallen world, and at times they're going to go through these things. As a mentor, as a leader, he wanted to take these things away, and he wasn't able to. Anybody relate to that? As we watch people go through some things, and we wish we could take some of these things away. We wish we could help them get out of them. We wish that we sometimes could even take their place, because we know that they're not able to handle it, or they've had so much going on. The Corinthian church at that time could not understand why Paul didn't come back like he had said. They thought that he had abandoned him. And in face value, it looked like he deserted them, like he didn't care. And in chapter 1, verse 23, he says, "I call God as my witness, and I stake my life on it that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth." He tells them to keep a tender heart. He tells them to keep an open heart. He tells them to not lose track of what they're going through, and not lose sight of the prize, not lose sight of the gospel that they're working on. He tells them that they need to learn to forgive those that have harmed you. Anybody need to learn that lesson? That they needed to learn the lesson that forgiveness. We say we're not going to forgive them. They don't deserve it. But God's saying, forgive them, one, so that you're not carrying that burden. You got to forgive those that have wrecked your plans, ruined your circumstances, and he tells them to happily preach the word of God to them. See, he's not preaching to a board meeting. See, that's the kind of talk that you usually would have at a board meeting. Just hang in there, guys. We as leaders of the church, we need to keep bringing these messages. But he's not talking to a board meeting. He's talking to the church as a whole. He's telling them, you need to forgive. You need to be encouraged. You need to know that I haven't abandoned you. You need to know above that the Lord has not abandoned you, that he's going to bring victory. He's saying, that they need to stay focused. They need to realize that what they're doing is eternal. They need to realize that God is still in it. And as I look at Merle's life, that was it. There was a process there. There was a life there. There was a message there. There was encouragement there. Verse 15, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death, to the other, an aroma that brings life. So it's my prayer this morning, as we just take these few minutes and look at this scripture, it's my prayer that this morning, if you feel like you are right there being crushed, being destroyed, being in a circumstances beyond your control, I'm telling you and asking God to show his presence in your life, to give you the encouragement that you need and to accomplish all of the things that Christ wants to accomplish in your life. 2 Corinthians, Paul is addressing the church, speaking to their church, admitting that he has weakness, we have weakness, but in ourselves we fall short, but in Christ we find strength. That is Paul saying to the church, that though we're pressured, that we're not to give up, not to lose focus, but let the light of Christ shine in the darkness. Amen? To show that it's not about us. And we don't operate in our own strength, but we operate in the strength of the Lord. The verse is hope for those of us that are going through these hard times. There's hope for when we have these mornings, like I said, where the weather dictates whether we're going to feel good or not, or whether we're, you know, the old Arthur is going to give us a hard time and we're not going to get around as good as we're supposed to, and those that have gone through surgeries and seem to just fight the battle of in and out of the hospital, for those that need a soul lift this morning, God wants to minister to us. And as we get older, sometimes we feel like, God, not only do I need a soul lift, but I need a facelift, and I need a tummy tuck, and I need all kinds of things to go on. But Lord, would you be all that I need this morning? Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Listen to this. They say that you're getting older when you and your teeth don't sleep together. when you try to straighten out your wrinkled socks and you realize you're not wearing any. When it takes twice as long to look half as good. We sense that. We see that our bodies are getting older. Our bodies are fading. But Paul tells us that God continually wants us to spend that time being renewed in him. That the outward is what we spend so much time. Society today spends so much time on the outward. So much time and money on the outward. But God's saying, how much time are you spending on the inside, renewing yourselves to him? See, we have quick tans and we have all this microwaves and all the things that just make everything faster. Procedures to make you look younger, bigger, taller, whatever you want. They seem to have it. It, you know, you don't like a part of your body that God gave you. We can fix it. I know some of you watch Pimple Poppers. I know. There's all kinds of stuff that just goes on all the time of changing things about us. But God's telling us that if we're going to really renew our bodies, that we need to look to him. Some celebrities, to me, have preserved really well. And I realize it takes a lot of money to get them that place. But I've got to be honest. There's some others that their skin is so tight that I believe they look like they've been put in a vice. And I believe that they actually look worse than they would have when they go through that process. Kind of reminds me of Phyllis Diller. Some of you may have to Google Phyllis Diller to see what I'm talking about. But we see that God has wanted this culture not to worship their bodies, but to worship Him. So besides this aging process, which is normal, He wants believers to see that God's Spirit dwells within us. So the body is getting older, but we can still be energized. Say amen. God dwells within the believer. God wants to work through the believer. God wants to continually use each one of us, no matter where we're at and what age we are, to encourage us and to build us up and to allow this world not to tear us down. Verse 13 says, "It is written, I believe, therefore have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to Himself. All this is for the benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." Paul directs us to not focus on our bodies, this life, but on the eternal things. The Spirit of God dwelling within us. The Spirit of God to empower us, to encourage us, to cheer us on in those times that we struggle. In according to what's written, "I believe, so I spoke." And in faith, "I believe, so I speak." That faith sustained the Apostle Paul, and it is the same Spirit that dwells within us that will sustain us. Amen. And allow us to serve the Lord with all our hearts. It is the faith and the belief that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and that Christ will raise His people up as believers in His resurrection. Outer decay, but inner renewal. That everyone should say amen to that this morning. I think one of the greatest illustrations in the things that I see, now that this is me, this is me being crazy at times, but I think one of the biggest blessings that I see is when I watch two old people holding hands walking down the mall or in a building, because I picture, what's the story there? How long have they been together? And the world just seems to be all kinds of crazy, racing around, and they're just slowly doing their walk. And the world is going around them, and yet, this is the crazy me side of it. I'm thinking, at one time they were the ones racing around. They were the ones racing around somebody a little slower. But to see their love, to see their witness, to see their reflection of Christ at times, I believe is such an illustration there. And I believe that's what Paul means when he says here, "We have this treasure in jars of clay, to that all surpassing power is from God and not us." I believe there's a perfect example as we age and as we get older and as we mature in Christ, that jar may be cracked, that jar may not be painted as pretty as it was, it may have some flaws in it, but that just is showing a reflection of Christ in our lives. That those jars can become brittle. Those jars have dents. Those jars have scars. Sometimes we can see the glue marks hanging out. Yet we can see that Christ is working. Then it reassures us that this is not all there is. Aren't you glad that this is not all there is? I'm often asked if I could go back to being a teenager, wouldn't I? My answer emphatically is no. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I want what the Lord has, and when my time's up, I'm ready to go home. I'm not afraid to go home. It's not all there is. And I, again, Merle and those that have went on before us, is just an example that they've run the race. They've completed it. They've done all that they know to do. They've accomplished and received their soul lift. And instead of only being external, it's about eternal things. And I believe God is good. God allows us to see these things. Check this out. Verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Let your light shine out of darkness,' make His light shine in your hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." We cannot be the light without God dwelling in us. Amen to that this morning. We cannot be the light that God's talking about, without God dwelling in us. We cannot be the light shining in darkness unless God brings us to places where the light is needed to shine. It means in our sufferings, the light of Christ in our life shines to those who are watching us. That God is the source of light, and we are the vessels He uses, the jars of clay, the cracked vases, those things that have scars. He chooses to use us to be the container for the light of God. And we have a responsibility as believers to share the message of Christ. Amen? We have a responsibility to be that light. We cannot and should not distort the word of God, but share the word of God. Verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves. There is a lot of preachers today preaching themselves. There are a lot of people that are preaching themselves. We are not to preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And ourselves as the servants for Jesus Christ. If we are preaching Christ, we will be empowered by His Spirit. We will be given the words that we need at those hard times when somebody loses a loved one, when somebody loses a job, when they're faced with darkness that seems to come in their lives. We will be given the words to share with them. We have a responsibility. And lastly, looking at verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Can we say that this morning? Can we say that out loud? We are not hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not destroyed or abandoned. Struck down. It ain't over yet. That may be bad English, but it's a good thought. It ain't over yet. Scripture tells us no weapon that is formed against us shall be able to prosper. How many have said in their moment, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. At those times that we need it, I come this morning to tell somebody, hang in there. I come with bad English and tell somebody that it's not over yet. The bell has rung. But the round isn't over. The next one is yours. Amen? See, I cannot tell you that you will never be knocked down again. I cannot tell you that you will never be caught off guard again. I can tell you that I cannot say to you that you will never feel abandoned. But I can tell you that I know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Amen. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that saved us. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Amen. Let's just go with that. I've felt the scariness of trying to catch my breath. As you're trying to gasp and get that last breath, getting the wind knocked out of you. We've all been there. Whether you've been involved in sports and getting your wind knocked out of you, whether you've been in a confrontation that has knocked the wind out of you, we've all experienced it. But I want you to know something. The biggest mistake that the devil makes is knocking the Christian off his feet. Because when she is off their feet and down on the ground praying, the devil is defeated. Can you say amen to that this morning? He trembles. Hell trembles when believers hit the floor and are praying. You may be knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Don't let the devil lie to you. You are not knocked out. It ain't over. The Apostle Paul chose to identify with Christ, chose to not identify with his circumstances. Mother Teresa said this, I love this, and I know I said I was getting done, but I'm almost done. Mother Teresa said this, "Now I rejoice with my whole heart that I have joyfully carried my cross with Jesus. There were sufferings, there were moments when my eyes were filled with tears, but thanks be to God for everything." Paul's faith, he chose and he saw Christ. In his human weakness, he saw an opportunity for God to do something amazing. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. In your human weakness, in that circumstances, God may use that as an opportunity to do something amazing in your life. Don't lose heart. His present situation, Paul's, was marked with suffering, but he wouldn't walk away. He wouldn't give up. His body was getting older. He was wasting away. There was time that I'm sure he wanted to give up. In verse 18, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal." The Lord offers us comfort this morning. The Lord offers us the assurance that He won't abandon us. He offers us strength by His Spirit dwelling within us to give us the ability to do things far beyond our own capabilities. The Lord is comfort for us today. Amen. Father, I thank You for Your goodness. And I believe this is for several people this morning that may have been knocked down and they're tired and they don't want to get up. May Your Spirit encourage them and strengthen them to stand up. It ain't over yet. And while they're knocked down, to spend time in prayer asking You, Lord God, what they need to do so that when they stand up, they have victory in Christ. May You do some amazing things in the lives of the people here this morning. May You encourage, energize, strengthen, give wisdom. May You give them the comfort and strength that they need to accomplish all that You've laid out for them. In Jesus' name, amen.